Welcome to Focus on Fuels, brought to you by StoneX. Your hosts are Trevor McClanahan, Risk Manager, and Alex Fodes, Director of Market Strategy from the StoneX Energy Desk. Alex and Trevor help fleet managers, fuel buyers, and energy procurement specialists gain control of fuel costs, boost margins, and keep their businesses competitive. Join them for another deep dive into the volatile energy markets.
Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. I'm your host, Alex Hodes, and I'm here with Trevor McClanahan. And we have quite a bit to talk about today, don't we, Trevor?
Absolutely. It's been a chaotic week, but it's been good. I mean, anytime there's a lot of volatility, we get just more action, and it was putting us to sleep for a while with that sideways action we were getting for so long. So we definitely have broken out of that.
Markets have been liberated.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So just a heads up, today is the 10th of April. So everything we say here might be moot by the end of the day. We don't know what's, you know, changing. But yesterday we saw, I believe it was one of the six highest record days in the S&P 500 after starting the day down huge. So things are down slightly this morning on the oil side. Oil's taken a huge hit. I believe it's been a drop of $17 over the past week and a half since the announcement. So just a summary of where the announcements and tariffs in place sit. Initially, Trump kind of took market participants off guard by imposing a 10% tariff on all countries outside of China, and then imposed more aggressive ones on particular countries. He has since put a pause on those 10% tariffs. But tariffs on China are now 125%.
There's even reports that it's actually closer to 145 now.
And China retaliated, and they have tariffs in place on U.S. imports at, I believe, 84%? Last time we checked. I'm not scrolling on Twitter, so I don't know the
live update.
Yeah, the most up-to-date data. But really, the market's just kind of trying to digest what this means to the oil market. A lot of the time, price swings kind of aggressively with those algorithms just taking the headlines and running with them. But we're trying to kind of focus in about what the actual demand dynamics, supply dynamics, just oil market dynamics, and how they will be affected by these tariffs. So I think we'll kind of walk through it in, we'll start off with kind of the most obvious will be, and also one of the more difficult to quantify, I would say, is the impacts in demand on this trade war escalation.
Yeah. So that's been the main focus. I've had a simple message to a lot of my customers, and it's been, you know, the demand side is going to be very unpredictable because there's a lot of moving actions going on in general right now. It's a moving target. So, you know, we've seen this in yesterday's session where we were down, what was it, $5 a barrel, and Trump does the 90-day pause, and then we shift up and go, we rally to $2. So it was a $7 swing. And you know, that's all based off demand, right? So again, if there's going to be more and more headlines that are driving this thing, and, it's going to be a lot of sentiment driven too. So the demand picture is going to be extremely hard for us to, predict, but I do think that, you know, there's already showing signs of cracks in the gasoline demand, and that's been, fairly weak this year. I think that's a lot of just uncertainty within the economy, and people are just doing less and this less activity in general within the economy. And then a combination of that and renewables, seeping into the market as well. So diesel demand hasn't really shown too much destruction quite yet. We actually are slightly higher than we were at this point last year. But that could be a little bit more of a longer road ahead, depending on kind of where things go from here, and see a little bit more of a decline in diesel demand over a longer period of time, whereas gasoline's a little bit more reactionary.
I think, especially as we move into kind of more of the gasoline heavy demand season, that's when it kind of takes the center stage. But
true,
almost, I would say we are going to see layoffs normally come before when you're seeing that gasoline demand drop. So vehicle miles traveled is highly correlated with employment. So whether we see, a large drop off in employment due to Doge cuts on federal employees, if we see that actually making a huge dent in gasoline demand, like you said, we're still relatively weak already. So that's not painting a particularly strong picture on the demand front. Diesel is going to be kind of a slower moving, just because there's, a lot of the demand is either on the trucking, industrial sectors, agriculture also. That's kind of a little bit more steady, but these kind of have slower inputs to where you're, it's kind of a delayed impact. So, if you're making fewer orders, then that's going to result in lower freight, and that's going to result in lower diesel demand. But some of our estimates that we've kind of run internally, and this is obviously, this is going to be primarily focused on the U.S. and China, but there will be kind of ripple effects throughout the world economy, considering those are the two largest economies in the world. I think primarily on U.S. and China, diesel is going to get hit the hardest. And that's because of that overall industrial activity on Chinese goods. If their manufacturing slows down, the U.S., if we're buying less goods, less miles traveled freight-wise. But even with these estimates, it's been in the range of 300,000 barrels per day is kind of where our estimates are for demand lost. And truly, that's not a huge amount. So I would say that the reactions of prices are kind of telling about, there's a lot of things that are magnifying the moves right now. So I guess one of them would be when volatility increases, it almost feeds upon itself, because then there's margin calls, and then that leads to more selling of other positions. So
Everything's overdone in the oil market. I mean, in most markets.
And so much connectivity between the markets. So, a headline that could be primarily focused more on equities or moving equities is going to spill over into oil. And the size of the equities market versus oil market is substantial. So we're kind of seeing a lot of that panic just kind of spill over and across all markets. But I think we do see an expectation of diesel demand and global oil demand dropping. But then kind of when we focus more on the crude side of things, crude oil specifically, obviously, if there's a reduction in global oil demand, we're going to reduce the amount of crude oil being put through refineries on the margin. But the supply side and even exports from the U.S. to China, which is really the only area of the U.S. market that's going to be directly affected by these, it was only averaging around 200,000 barrels per day to China specifically. So to put that into perspective, the U.S. averages about 4 million barrels per day of exports. So it's not really a large portion with regards to being a trade partner. And I think these barrels can be absorbed from other buyers in the area. So I think we'll see kind of a redirecting of flows, right?
Change of hands. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the biggest, I think just to put it all in perspective and kind of summarize it in some way, I think it's more of a, from the demand, just going back to the demand side, you know, crude oil is a fungible product where it's going to be able to find homes to you know, because our crude is very similar to many other crudes in the world. It's going to have a destination regardless if it's China, and they're just going to find another place to buy it, right? And we're going to find another place to sell it. But these other manufactured goods that are coming out of China, there's going to be a deduction of that, and then that's going to just create a smaller demand for energy products across the board. So that just could reduce the overall demand, while, you know, the supply is still going to find its way to whatever markets are open at that time. But, you know, that's our biggest aspect that is important to us, is that deduction of demand from China, because they're just not going to have other homes for that, their products to go. Mm-hmm. The U.S. is the biggest consumer. And quite frankly, I don't know that other markets in the world are going to be able to absorb that. So that's my message is, that's why this sell-off is somewhat warranted, but at the same time, it's extremely dramatic. And, you know, to me, it just seems like it definitely was overdone on one hand, but on the other hand, you know, the panic is there. So it might be priced in kind of the worst.
Yeah. And I think we spoke a little bit about this the other day, was how it's just an example of market psychology every time. So, yeah, you know, one day it market sells off quite a bit, then things kind of settle down and people are like, this is a good time to buy. Like, mm-hmm. prices are good here.
Yeah.
But then when you see even more volatile action to the downside, you go, oh, wait up. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's something else to it.
But, exactly.
But honestly, at these price levels, so what are we at on WTI? Like,
it's just under 60.
58, 59. Mm-hmm. The last Dallas Fed report, we mentioned this last time, but the break even for new wells is $65 per barrel, according mm-hmm. to some of those surveyed in that.
Yeah, there was another meeting too in the last week that a lot of oil producers from that West Texas region, Permian region there, you know, they all met, and there's a lot of anxiety mm-hmm. over the oil price right now. And that's something that's just going to continue to compound on itself, in my opinion. Scott Sheffield's son, Brian Sheffield, Scott Sheffield was the founder of Pioneer Resources. Brian is, I think what he does is he's basically just a consultant for a mm-hmm. lot of these guys. But he's calling for everybody to shut down production or slow down production. That's probably very reactionary right now. And I don't think that's going to happen by any means in like the short term, but that is just a telling sign of how, if this persists and lasts for, I don't know how long exactly, but there's going to be a reaction from mm-hmm. the producers. And they're going to, I mean, the U.S. is the biggest swing producer in the world, right? So if we're producing 13.7 million barrels per day right now, even a 10% fall off of our production is substantial for mm-hmm. the world market. And, you know, it's going to balance that market out balance the market out at some point. Where that level is, that's probably up for grabs, you know? Mm-hmm. However, that's the kind of the key to understand here is, in our opinion, that long term, crude under $60 just can't survive, at least in most markets in the world, or some markets in the world. I mean, there's some other markets that are significantly lower breakevens, and you know, they can survive in that environment, but it's definitely not all of the producers.
Mm-hmm. And I think we've already seen kind of a slowing in the shale patch prior yep. to this, so. You know, on the margin, it's just, I think we should find some support here, whether it's, you know, next week or next month is up for debate, like you said. But I think that's something to put into perspective, is there's going to be a supply response at these price levels that they remain here. One thing on the demand front that I think is, it's kind of more of a niche area of the market, and that would be kind of in the NGL space. We talked a lot about propane last time. China being a huge consumer of propane, and this actually has been one of the largest sources of growth for the U.S. Over the past several years, their overall demand. So that is still coming out of the petroleum sector, whether it's coming from crude oil refining or natural gas fractionation, which the majority of it is coming from there. It's overall going to reduce demand in the petroleum space. And estimates are for China, because they purchased, I believe, over 50% of their propane in 2024 was from the U.S. So they're going to have to look elsewhere to purchase that. They're most likely going to look to the Middle East. Saudi Arabian propane prices have been skyrocketing since the announcement of these tariffs. And so they're seeing those propane inputs going higher, the cost of those propane inputs going higher, while their downstream, you know, the plastic products or plastic resins that they're producing, that should be going downward. So they're seeing their margins compress quite a bit. They already had pretty low margins, so they will start kind of throttling back some of those petrochemical plants, and you could see a reduction in propane demand overall. So I think that's something to pay attention to as well. The U.S. is still going to be trying to, you know, find a home for all of its propane that it's exporting, but it's probably going to be at a lower price than we originally thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think just when you kind of take a step back from the chaos that's ensued the past couple weeks, what we have been kind of stating and driving home still kind of stands firm, is there are still these, I guess, floors in the market. And I know we probably a week ago or 2 weeks ago couldn't imagine prices back below $60 per barrel.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's going to be able to be sustainable at this level.
Yeah. And I think long term too, and let's reflect back to kind of what COVID and what that brought to us, because this is obviously not as violent of a sell-off as, or not yet at least, which I can't imagine that obviously that's going to negative and crude doesn't seem realistic, but it's possible.
Yeah.
We know that.
We've seen it happen.
Yeah. So that obviously brought a lot of barrels of off the market for the producers. Mm-hmm. You know, their production fell off substantially. I can come up with some figures here. But that had a long-term effect on the market, and ultimately probably got us to where we were at $100 barrel crude at some, you know, later on in 2023. So obviously Russian-Ukraine conflict, you know, compounded that problem even more. But it was more reactionary on that as well, because obviously the flows didn't really change that much. But overall, I mean, the U.S. crude production, was extremely, it fell off a ton. Sorry, I'm looking for some data on that. I don't know if I'm going to find it. But it fell off, I think, about 3 million barrels per day. So, and it takes longer for those wells to get, you know, reinvigorated and bring them back online than it does to just bring them off. So that's important to know. And I think that just causes a ripple effect that could cause some pricing to compound higher if we stay in this range and we start to see wells start to, or production start to fall. So keep that in mind. I don't know that that's something we need to be worried about right now, because there's obviously no cracks in the surface of showing any kind of big producers falling or reducing their capacity that much. But just keep that in mind for the long-term picture of how this can affect the market.
I think that illustrates kind of the just commodities markets in general, the over
cycles,
the cycles of, you know, there's the underinvestment and then oversupply and then resulting under investment again, and kind of we swing, make these huge swings, and the price is kind of supposed to be that mechanism to find where that sweet spot is. And so you definitely see these cyclical trends, and it appears that this is part of that, you know, overshooting. Mm-hmm. is kind of a regular thing in commodities markets. And I think just not getting scared from Absolutely. That. So, and I think, so we haven't had anybody calling to try and buy up a bunch of pools to store a bunch of crude oil in. So
yeah.
I don't think it's as bad as COVID time. So
what's weird too is the market is backwardated still.
Yeah.
So on crude and heating oil and I mean, a lot of the products right now are still in backwardation, meaning that there's still not enough from a fundamental standpoint, there's not enough oil in the market right now. Inventories globally still remain relatively low.
Pretty tight, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously there's still a ton of spare capacity out there of production that could be, you know, triggered and brought back online pretty quickly. But, you know, that's another sign that this market is still relatively tight, and we haven't seen a response from OPEC yet with this sell-off. I don't think they're going to probably do anything mm-hmm. because I think they think this is going to be a short-term deal, which is interesting to me as well. They've done a pretty good job of kind of predicting outcomes. So maybe, I mean, again, they don't know anything. We don't, as far as I know. So it's just interesting. I think that the market in this state that where it is right now, though, it's a really big panic zone right now. Don't be a panickin.
Yeah, don't be a panickin.
That's President Trump's term right there. Yeah. So
who knows?
I think a lot of people are being panickins, though.
Who knows where he came up with that term? But
that sounds like it came out of his brain. I don't know if anybody else can produce that.
Yeah, I think from the OPEC response, I honestly don't even know if we mentioned that they announced they were bringing more barrels back to the market quicker than they had originally planned. So it's kind of faded into the headlines.
Yeah.
It's been completely overshadowed. It's only about 250 to 300,000 barrels per day of additional supply, which isn't nothing, but it's not super substantial. And again, they are willing to adjust this every month. But honestly, from my perspective, it had been signaling stronger demand in Asia, and that's why they were bringing these barrels back to market. So it's another one of those things where there's kind of these background data, like the, you know, structure of the market, from this point of view, is a read on Asian demand, a little bit stronger than what expectations were previously. So it's kind of, you know, we're waiting for this to unfold. Obviously, I think there will be demand destruction due to the tariffs in place if they remain here. Mm-hmm. That's a big if, because, you know, the U.S. and Chinese economy, I don't think both don't want these to be a long-term thing. But, you know, it's kind of a deal.
They're playing hardball, both sides.
Exactly.
So it doesn't, I think both can. You know, so China's already cutting interest rates and making moves domestically there that, you know, they're trying to save their economy mm-hmm. at the same time. And their economy was it was not in good shape prior to this. So keep that in mind. I think Trump knows that, and he's probably utilizing that as leverage, and that going for pretty much everywhere else as well. We know there's a lot of new stuff that's come on here recently. You being the unbiased analyst, do you have a new price forecast, or where's your head right now for let's call it the 6 month cycle here? Let's in August, September, October. Where do you think we could be?
I think we still should. So I'm going to be running our models today, and I do have a webinar next week that mm-hmm. you can all attend. It's a free webinar, so I'll kind of discuss why I see the market going where it's going, but I believe still a little bit below that $70 per barrel. So mid to upper 60s is kind of my price target as we speak. there's obviously some sentiments kind of pulled us down. And honestly, like you said, talking about China putting some more stimulus in place, I think they've kind of held this back. You know, people had been calling for them to do the stimulus, but when they saw that Trump might be in office, I think they kind of kept some bullets, held them back.
Sure.
Because they're like, okay, well, now we can stimulate this. So honestly, that might provide kind of a floor of where that demand destruction can go in China too. So there's a lot of factors that are holding that still should kind of mitigate some of this price action downward. But again, it's how long is this going to stay in place? And so my forecast still kind of looks at the fundamentals and where we're expecting to see supply growth and demand growth. And I still think that the mid to upper 60s price range is kind of a sweet spot for the market as we see.
Cool. Yeah, that doesn't factor in. I know that Trump's meeting with Iranian leadership this weekend. So that'll play a factor as well. Yeah. And I think there's still a lot of geopolitical risk here outside of just this tariff talk, but it just happens to be that's kind of the flavor of the week right now. And it's a moving target, as we know.
The Iran meeting, actually, you know, that if we were in kind of a normal market news week, that would be huge news in the oil market.
Right?
And it's kind of just fading in the background. But it was funny. I saw a headline that one said, you know, Trump said, oh, we're meeting directly in Oman to discuss this. And then an Iranian official is like, no, these are not direct talks. Like, these are not direct talks about our nuclear program. So I think if nothing else, you can kind of take away from that, that these sides are still like far apart. I don't think we're close to a deal being made on the Iran front. And another thing, which will be part of my webinar and what I've been kind of looking at data now, is Iranian crude oil flows. We have not seen those really shut down. So, you know, maybe this gives reason if the meeting goes poorly, and then, you know, Trump's strategy, it seems, is to, and, you know, it's a fool's errand to try and get in his head. but so far, judging by previous negotiation tactics, is he puts large things on the table at first and then kind of walks them back as you go. So perhaps, you know, that's an upside price risk there this weekend, going into the weekend, is that, you know, if meetings go poorly, he says, all right, we're slowing like Iranian crude oil barrels down to a halt. Whether they can execute all of that, I still think is up for debate. I don't think they can, but could they reduce some barrels? I think so. So I think that's something to pay attention to going into the week. That's not tariff related. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's easy to like kind of lose focus to all of the other supply things that are going on. So yeah, that's a great point. Well, I think that's all we got today. If you guys are interested in any of our market intelligence reports, please reach out to us. If you have any hedging needs for any energy exposure that your commercial companies or even individual companies, individuals have, feel free to reach out to us. We have all of our information in the show notes today. Also, Alex is doing his webinar, so be sure to you know, look into that and see if you guys are interested. Join on that one. That should be, it's free, correct?
Correct.
Good deal.
It will be next Tuesday, so April 15th at 2 p.m. Central Time. We'll eventually have a recording on this if you're not able to attend live. But if you are able to attend live, you can ask questions, participate in some poll questions as well, which I always get a kick out of. So
yeah, and you also did a tariff white paper update. Was it Tuesday that you released that?
So, yes.
Yeah, very relevant information too. If you're interested in receiving that, please reach out to us on that. It's really good content there. So I'd love for everybody to get a hold of that and read through what Alex thinks on it. So I think that's all we got today. Appreciate you guys joining in, and do not be a panicking.
Do not. Thanks. See you next time.
Bye, guys.
You've been listening to the Focus on Fuels podcast with Trevor McClanahan and Alex Hose, brought to you by StoneX. NASDAQ ticker SNEX, a global Fortune 100 financial services company with a century of commodities risk management experience. Subscribe to Focus on Fuels on your preferred podcasting platform for insights on managing fuel and energy price volatility, and to sign up for the free StoneX Morning Energy Brief newsletter. Email focusonfuels@stonex.com or visit www.stonex.com. Please feel free to rate, review, and share this episode with colleagues. Until next time.